Well, yesterday was Canada Day. And Canada, now correct me if I'm wrong, but Canada Day is kind of like Canada's 4th of July for the United States, you know, something like that. So yesterday was Canada Day. And this coming Friday is 4th of July, where we celebrate, you know, our independence. Well, I want to read something to you. This is the preamble to the Declaration of Independence from July 4th, 1776. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off, for the law, or establish guards for their future security. Now, I had some typos in here. I ask you to forgive me for that. I don't know how this happened. Maybe it's because I was using a new program on my computer. It's the computer's fault. It's not my fault. Well, anyway, that was 1776, and with that Declaration of Independence, man, that was it. I mean, the war was on. And it's really, I don't know if you've ever seen there's a documentary series, and I forget the name of it. Kelsey Grammer narrates, and they give the history of the United States. Well, part of what they do is they have reenactions. You know, actors play the generals for the British and Washington and our generals and so forth. Well, anyway, when you watch this, it is so obvious that God worked in miraculous ways for our armies to win, because it made no sense whatsoever for our armies to be able to defeat what at the time was the greatest military force in the world. Now, granted, we did have a little bit of an advantage in that this was our home turf, if you will. But even at that, at times, the forces were very unorganized. I mean, it was just difficult. But if you ever get a chance, I don't know if it's the Great Battles of the United States. Anyway, if you ever have a chance to watch this, just look it up. Historical documentary narrated by Kelsey Grammer. It is really, really good. And I remember at one point when Washington and his army was crossing the Delaware, they were highly concerned that the British were going to find them, and there was no way that they would be able to avoid the British, because they only had a few boats. They had all these soldiers, and the boats had to go back and forth and back and forth. And Washington, you know, they said, "You got to go." He goes, "Nope." He said, "I'm not going until I know our men are across." And they were concerned because, according to this documentary, they could actually hear the British coming from a distance. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes this fog. And the fog made it impossible for the British soldiers to find our troops. And they were able to all cross the Delaware. Then after they got across, it wasn't much longer before, you know, the fog lifted and the British realized how they do that. How'd they get across? I mean, just over and over again, God moved in incredible ways. Well, it was after the Declaration of Independence, you know, the war was fought, lasted for years. And finally, you know, the British, they conceded. And it was really interesting, you know, if you just watch this, war is a weird thing, you know, because when the British conceded and they're talking, the leaders, Washington and I think it was Howe or whoever, they're talking about the fact that, okay, it's over, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. The way they're talking, you'd think that, you know, one team had just won a volleyball match or something. I mean, it's just weird the way that this stuff happens. But nevertheless, it was over. But just because the war was won, it didn't mean that it was smooth sailing for us as a nation. Because you had all the different, well, the colonies became states, and the states had representatives. And the representatives in the South, they did not like the idea of abolishing slavery. And this was a dark period, and ultimately this led to the Civil War. And, you know, anybody that tells you the Civil War had nothing to do with slavery, they do not know what they're talking about, or they are lying. And in schools, some schools today, apparently they're saying it all had to do with, like, taxation and the economy and so forth. That is not true. That is not true, because the southern states, they were actually talking about secession right after the Revolutionary War. We're not going to be a part of this if we can't have slavery. So, you know, they conceded, and the part about abolishing slavery was removed and from the Constitution. And, you know, it came to a head later on anyway. That's just the way it is. And it's funny because the other day we were watching a TV show and it takes place in North Carolina. And one person was talking about, our family has owned this land ever since the Northern Aggression. Yeah, they still refer to it as that in some places in the South. It's like, you know, you're living in denial. Okay, it had to do with slavery. Well, anyway, they came, after the Revolutionary War, they were getting together, you know, they're trying to come up with a Constitution. And the Constitution was finally ratified by the states in 1788. Well, the very first amendment to the Constitution was ratified on December 15th, 1791. Do any of you receive the daily email, Give Him 15, from Dutch Sheets? Interview? Oh, listen, the one from today was absolutely amazing. It had a quote from Ben Franklin, and if you didn't get it and you want it, send me an email. I will forward it to you. It was incredible because in this, you know, the states were arguing, so on and so forth, and basically what Franklin did, I won't even try to quote him, but he was 81 years old at the time, and when he stood up, you know, people just listened to him. And he basically said this. He said, look, we met together during that war, and every day we met together, we prayed before we did anything else, believing God to help us in this war. Now, we're not doing that. We're trying to come up with this Constitution on our own. Should we not ask for God's help in developing this Constitution? Shouldn't we do the same? You know, why should we think we can do it on our own? And from that point on, before every session of Congress, even though it wasn't called that back then, but that set the tone. From that point on, the sessions of Congress are open with prayer. Of course, nowadays, you know, who knows what they pray. But it was from that point on that they were able to come together and come into a type of agreement for the Constitution. And the First Amendment was ratified on December 15th, 1791. And listen to the First Amendment. I'm going to read from it. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay? What that was all about was what had happened in England, where they had established the Church of England, and any other religious group was forbidden. Well, that's one of the reasons why they came over here, get away from that. They wanted the freedom to worship Jesus Christ. And I've heard people say today, well, that's not really why they came over. Yes, it is. I've even heard some Christian historians say, well, that's not really why they came over. That is why they came over. Because the first thing they did when they got over here was start worshiping Jesus. So, the First Amendment has two clauses concerning religion. One, the Establishment Clause, and the second one is the Free Exercise Clause. Now, the Establishment Clause prohibits the government from establishing a state religion or favoring one religion over another. The Free Exercise Clause prevents the government from interfering with the practice of religion. Now, I think you would all agree with me that our government has violated the Constitution on those two points, because they have preferred, may I be blunt? I say, of course, Brother Martin, for a change, please be blunt. Our government prefers Islam over Christianity. Not just the way it is. Because there are sections of this country, just look this up if you doubt me, to where Islam has a stronghold, and our government, our police forces will not go in. They respect that religion. And yet Christianity, just try that if you're a Christian. Try creating a Christian enclave to where we as Christians have our own, quote, police force patrolling the street. That's what's going on. That's what's, not for Christians though, for Islam. That's what's happening. It's a preference for that religion. And the whole thing of interfering with the practice of religion, good glory. If you don't recognize that that's what's going on in our country, of course, in some situations that's shifting back the way it should be. You know, thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, right.
But the government has interfered with the practice of religion. The moment that our government says, well, you know, you can't, we enforce the whatever rule that somebody has created that you're not allowed to wear a Christian symbol, you know, a cross or whatever. Okay, that is a restriction. That's a restriction. This country was founded on God's word and the name of Jesus. And so what you're saying is, we're, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the people do? That's exactly what's happening.
Right.
Destroying the foundations. Now, you ever heard anybody say something like, well, this is a free country? You ever heard that? Sure you have. We might have said it ourselves. Well, I have news for you. It's free in name only. It's not a free country the way it was supposed to be when it was first established. Because nowadays, freedom is pretty much defined as the liberty to do as one pleases with no accountability. Yeah. I mean, look at the people now that commit crimes. They just walk away from it. Nothing's done. You know, a few years back, the Lord moved during one of our services in a prophetic way, and part of the prophecy was the day is coming when the police are going to be so overwhelmed, they're not going to be able to investigate murders. Okay, well, here we are. Here we are. And that was at least, 12, 15 years ago, that prophecy came forth. Here we are. It's happening. And people want to talk about how we've made progress in our nation. Listen to this. Talking about freedom. We freed ourselves from the very one who created freedom, who is the personification of freedom, and in whom only freedom can be found. We freed our children from prayer and Bible reading in school. We freed ourselves from the restrictions of censorship regarding language and pornography in music and in movies and in television and on the internet. We have freed our courts, schools, and public buildings from displaying the Ten Commandments, Christmas nativity displays, and Christmas religious images. We freed ourselves from the archaic notion that marriage is till death do us part, and given divorce cute, softer names like disillusionment and annulment. Even children can now divorce themselves from parents. Did you know that? The kids can legally divorce themselves from their parents. This is crazy. Now, I can understand you have abusive parents, but the whole idea that children can get an attorney to represent them to divorce themselves from their parents, that's weird. Totally weird. We freed our children from learning that sexual intimacy is for marriage, and we teach them how to engage in perversity. It goes on in school. Did you hear recently about the Christian lady who filed a complaint about the school that she was attending? Because they forced her to take a course. She wanted to be a psychologist. And they forced her to take a course on sexuality, which was a class on perversion. And part of what was required would be the students to explain their sexual experiences in class, their sexual preferences in class, and if they were married, what they and their spouse did as far as sex was concerned, and then showed hardcore pornography in the class so that the students would all be better prepared to psychologically help people dealing with sexual issues. She complained and got kicked out. Well, apparently there's an investigation going on right now. Did you hear about the one university where the professor was giving extra credit to students who would engage in homosexual activity and then give a report about it? Now, this is sick. Absolutely sick. But we freed our children from learning that sexual intimacy is for marriage, and then we teach them how to engage in perversity. You are aware that there are schools that have given out elementary age school kids books promoting male with male, female with female, and images, graphic images. I'll just leave it at that. We freed men and women from being men and women and allow same gender marriage. I mean, think about, could you imagine in my lifetime, there's no way when I'm talking younger now, if somebody went into their doctor and said, doc, you know, I don't think I'm really supposed to be a man. I'm supposed to be a woman. You know, can you set up surgery for me so I can get fixed? You know what? That doctor would probably call the police. You know, I got a nut job here. This guy's a danger to himself. The whole idea of doing that it just wasn't real. And now you've had situations to where people file lawsuits if they feel like they're being prevented from having those kind of surgeries. We have We have freed society from the notion that killing an unborn child is murder. And we're gaining more and more freedom to use drugs for recreational purposes. You know, it was so stupid. Legalizing marijuana, shame on our state. Legalizing marijuana. You know, for those of you that ever smoked it, you know you shouldn't be smoking that stuff and driving. It's not smart. It's just a variation. You can't drink and drive, right? This is the kind of freedom that people tell us we have now. Well, you know, we're allowed to do these things. It's all right. Well, the more these freedoms have been gained, the more people are actually in bondage. And they don't realize it. Why don't you turn over to Jeremiah 39? They think they have freedom, when in reality, they're in bondage. More and more bondage. And it's increasing. But because this bondage doesn't have bars and a lock on the door, they don't think they're in bondage. They think we have more freedom now. We have freed people to have parades and perform sex acts in the parade, to be totally nude. Yeah. Now, it's happened. And parents with kids line the streets watching these parades. This is weird. We saw a picture the other day of, I don't know, some kind of a, one of those kind of protests. And this lady, and I guess that was her girlfriend or whatever standing next to her. I mean, there's a lot of people. She's holding up this sign. I can't even tell you what this sign says. It was sexually graphic. And there she's holding it up for everybody. It's like, this is gross. Absolutely gross. But people say it's freedom. Freedom of speech. No, no, no. That's not what freedom of speech was all about. But because of liberal-minded, ungodly judges, these things are now allowed to take place. You know, Proverbs 16, verse 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. Broad daylight, and these people are walking in darkness. Their judgment is totally clouded. They have no idea what's going on. You're in Jeremiah 39. You know, people wonder why we have so many problems. You know, why is it the way it is now? We just don't understand. Well, it's because of how free we've become. In Jeremiah 38, we're going to pick it up in 39, but in Jeremiah 38, Zedekiah was really concerned because Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, they're approaching. And so Zedekiah met with the prophet Jeremiah. He said, what can I do? Tell me here. Talk to me. What's going on? And so Jeremiah told him what to do. He said, here's what the Lord wants you to do. And if you do what I'm telling you, then all's going to go well with you. Okay? It'll be all right. Well, Zedekiah did just the opposite. And now look what happened in Jeremiah 39. Pick it up in verse 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah and Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. See that? If Zedekiah had done what the prophet Jeremiah told him to do, none of this would have happened. None of it. His kids would have lived. All these other people would have lived. He'd have kept his eyes. Everything would have been okay. Wouldn't have been a problem. Look at this again. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. You know, in Ezekiel 7:23, God was speaking to Ezekiel. He said, make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. Warnings from modern day Jeremiahs have fallen on deaf ears, and our freedom, all these freedoms that we've given, we've attained to, have led to a blindness and chains of bondage wrapped around our society. And there's no way to get around it. I mean, that's the way it is. And the problem is, it's happened slowly. Hasn't happened overnight, but it has happened, and we're living in it right now. Look over in Isaiah chapter 59. Just a couple of verses. We won't read the whole chapter, but in Isaiah 59, in verse 2, listen to what God says. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. That's describing our society right now. Now, I thank God that I live in this country, but it's a mess. It's absolutely a mess. And here's what's incredible. This country is probably in better shape than any other nation. Now, what's that say? Yeah, things are bad. Really, really bad. However, look over in Isaiah 61. See, there is a bondage in this country, in our society, that people don't detect, and that it's weird. It's had a numbing effect on the body of Christ. To where we understand, you know, they told me I can't take my Bible to work. That's just not right. Well, they told me I'm not allowed to wear my cross. They told me I'm not allowed to have a nativity scene at my desk. They tell me this, they tell me. I get that. But that's just the fruit of what's been going on for years. And we have heard warnings about this. And the body of Christ has been encouraged, we got to pray. Well, I'll be the first one to admit, I haven't prayed the way I should have. And so what's happened is, we're at a place now to where we've got problems. And people who say, well, you know, but I'm a Christian. Okay, yes, you're a Christian. But what does that mean to you? What's happening in your life? I mean, do you realize what you have right in the midst of this society? Do you really understand? Look here in Isaiah 61. Pick it up in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Hey, there is a boundness in this country, even within the body of Christ. Did you know that in, I forget what state it was, might have been North Carolina, South Carolina, anyway, over there in that direction, there is a city government that's doing what they can to prevent any more churches from being built in their county or in the city or something like that. Yeah, to prevent it from happening. Now, that's wrong. That's absolutely, we've got enough churches. What does that mean? What, you have more churches than houses? I mean, what do you mean you have enough churches? And you know, if they get that passed, what are you going to do if you're a church? What are you going to do if you've outgrown your present facility and you want to build a new facility? Get this? Yeah, this is what's happening in our country. And so he says, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. That's revival right there. That's revival. That's it. And he's saying here, obviously we recognize this is a prophecy that Jesus made reference to. But verses 1, 2, and 3 are about what God intends to do, what Jesus came to, I guess you could say, initiate or set in motion. And verse 4 is the result of the people who allow God to do verses 1 through 3 in their lives. We have to allow Him to minister to us. Listen, the moment people start fussing and bellyaching and moaning and groaning about the government and about all the bad stuff that's happening, I just can't believe, they're telling you that they are not allowing Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 to take place in their heart. They're telling you it's not going on. They're just complaining. Because he says right here, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, Christians that talk about, man, I'm telling you, all the stuff that's going on, it's just, I just tell you, it's terrible. It just weighs on me. Well, here's your answer right here. Here it is. Because God is saying, if you will let me by my spirit do in you verses 1, 2, and 3, then you know what? I'm going to be able to use you to turn the tide where you are. I'm going to be able to use you to build the old wastes, raise up the former desolations, repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Well, we're dealing right now with the desolations of many generations. See, when you read this, in your mind, you may imagine, you know, cities devastated and buildings torn down and so forth. Okay, think in the spirit. Start thinking about this as far as a spiritual move. Verse 4 takes place in the midst of a societal bondage. And what I mean is this. We allow God to do verses 1, 2, and 3 in us. And then you know what? It won't matter what the government does. It won't matter because the Spirit of God is moving on us, in us, and through us to bring about the reality of the revival described here in verse 4. And so therefore, our responsibility is to yield to this work that He wants to do in us. You can always, listen, I'm telling you, I've learned this over the years. You can tell where a Christian is walking by virtue of what they say. You're going to know. You are going to know. Somebody, listen, you can be born again, but you can still be, I don't even know the right way to describe it, but your mind not working right, not understanding who you are in Christ, what He's done for you. Because when you understand who you are, there's going to be we all have things in our lives we don't like at all. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be money, it could be this, it could be family, whatever. But you know what? Those who are truly walking with Jesus, they're not going to be fussy, and they're not going to be complainy, and they're not going to nag, and they're not going to moan and groan, and they won't be like that, because verses 1, 2, and 3 will be working in their lives. God wants us at a place to where it doesn't matter what the government is doing. He will use us for verse 4 for this revival. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Because see, there's a flip side to this. It's really interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, jump in the middle of this, verse 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. See that? The word servant here, it comes from the Greek word doulos. And it means a slave, one who is in a permanent relationship of servitude to another, his will being altogether consumed in the will of the other. But for us, it's a choice. See, you can be born again on your way to heaven, but you absolutely are not the Lord's servant. Because for us to be the Lord's servant, and this is where it gets really crazy, we place ourselves by choice in a position of slavery to Him. But slavery to the Lord is freedom in life. So there is freedom in bondage to the Lord. You understand? Are you seeing this? In Galatians chapter 1, look over there. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 10, look what Paul says. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant, the doulos of Christ. If I'm trying to appease people, if I'm trying to keep people happy, if I'm trying to, you know, bridge the gap. You follow what I'm saying here? He says, if I do that, then you know what? I am no longer a bond slave to Jesus Christ. And when you use that kind of a term, the connotation is something very bad, you know, slavery. But yet, when we're a slave unto Jesus Christ, there is freedom. I mean, there is all kinds of freedom. We are massively free. Being his slave, being his servant. In Titus chapter 1, look over there. Titus chapter 1, and just look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Paul, a servant of God. What he's saying is, I am Paul, and by choice, I have made myself God's slave, his servant, so that he can use me the way he desires. A good way to put this would be, remember when Jesus was praying before he went to the cross? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I present myself to be your servant, your slave. But it's a bond slave, but it is a slavery in love, if that even makes sense. And in John, look over in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, look here. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Praise God. We're free in Christ. So many people out there, even Christians, they want to talk about, well, you know, it's so restricting, you know, to serve the Lord. You know, it's just, You can't do anything. You can't have any fun. You can't, okay, based on what? Can't have any fun based on what? Listen, I've been on both sides of this fence, okay? The world's definition of fun and God's definition of fun. And I'm telling you what, it is so much better to lay down at night in bed and not be so drunk that the room literally is spinning, that the alarm clock is jumping all over the place. It is so nice to go home and not hug the toilet all night throwing up because I drank too much. I mean, I hope none of you have done that. Maybe you have, I don't know. It feels so good to be able to go to bed at night and know that God is watching over me. It feels so good to wake up in the morning and know that God stayed awake all night. I mean, He never sleeps, He never slumbers. To wake up in the morning and I know I've got a real purpose for living. I know that I can have, a time of fellowship with Almighty God. I'm free. I'm free because of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. I'm free from the law of sin and death. You know, it's really interesting. The Apostle Paul understood this so well. He said, you know, it really would be nice just to go on and be with the Lord. And I'm kind of struggling between staying here with you guys or going on to be with Him. But the more I think about it, it's to your benefit that I hang around a little bit longer. Like, can you imagine somebody actually believing that? Say, well, let's see here. Stay or go. To be or not to be. Because He knew, you know, He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We don't have a sin nature. We are free. And listen to this. Because of what Jesus has done, you know, whom the Son sets free is free, and He set us free. Because of that, we are free to come boldly before God's throne of grace. There's no hindrance there. We're free to do this every day. Yeah, well, what if I mess up? God says, well, you're still free to come boldly before the throne of grace because you obviously need some help or you wouldn't have messed up. So come on, let's go. Let's talk about this. Let's fix it. We are free. Listen, we are free to receive healing for every part of our body, no matter what it is. We're free. You know, when we got born again, we walked into a room like God's department store. And, you know, over here you got healing on that shelf. And over there you got deliverance from anything, everything. Doesn't matter what it is. Body, soul, spirit, deliverance. All this provision. I mean, and what's interesting is that there are no price tags. There are signs on every shelf. Free. Free. All you have to do is come and take it. It's free. We're free to have provision no matter what the economy. Please let that sink in. We are free to have provision no matter what the economy. In fact, this may come as a shock to some people. God wants us living in that freedom so if the economy does tank, we are able to provide for folks that don't understand that freedom. He wants us to be at a place to where we have enough bread for our family and for the people next door. That we have, you know, to borrow from the Old Testament illustration, we've got a pot of vegetable soup that doesn't empty. And we can just keep dishing it out to people who need. Are you getting a hold of this? We're free to have provision no matter what the economy. We're free to have joy unspeakable and full of glory in any situation. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're free to have the peace that passes all understanding. Guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are free to call God our Father. Praise the Lord. We're free. We are in the midst of a lost and perverse generation, a corrupted society that has tried to create all kinds of bondage. We're free. We are free. And listen, society, Congress, the Supreme Court, or any president cannot legislate the freedom we have as citizens in the kingdom of God. Can't do it. What's that? You tell me I can't pray? I'm gonna. I'm gonna. What's that? You see I can't worship? I'm gonna. I'm going. You can't stop this. You can't, because I'm free. We'll kill you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what's the deal here? I win all the time. Boy, that's got to make the devil mad. Folks, this society is messed up, and there is a lot of bondage that exists in this society. People telling us we can't, we're not allowed to. People out there doing things that years ago would have got them put in prison. And no matter that stuff surrounds us, you know what? We are free. And there is freedom in bondage as the servant of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So when we are celebrating 4th of July and the fireworks and so on and so forth, and enjoy it, have a good time, just remember, we are more free than all those fireworks and what they represent. Glory to God. And this book right here, the Bible, this is our declaration of independence from the devil. Praise God.